My name is Nisha Gonzalez.
My name is Jaden Gonzalez.
And we're Pastor's Kids.
Saludo mi gente, we are back with another season of What Would a PK Say? If you're listening for the first time, welcome. And for those of you who are steady listeners, you know what's up. I'm so excited for you guys to listen to this first episode of season 5. Let's get right to it. I am Eliezer Torres, and you are?
Nisha.
I'm Jaden Gonzalez. Some people call me Jay, but however you feel comfortable.
Okay, so Nisha, what do you like? Do you like Jay?
I'll take Jaden. J-A-D-O-N.
Jaden, all right. Very nice to meet you guys. I'm very excited. Welcome to the very first show of season 5. What's up?
Oh, awesome.
Happy to be the first.
We're honored.
The honor's mine. The pleasure's mine. How old are you guys?
I just turned 25 yesterday.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I'm 23. Whole life I've been 2 years behind.
That's a good one. I like it. So happy birthday.
Thank you.
You guys have a big family?
Just us two. Our mother and then our dad passed away 2 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. I'm sorry to hear that. That's tough.
Very tough. Yeah.
Was he the pastor or was your mom the pastor?
He was the pastor.
Is your mom pastoring?
At the moment, me and my brother are in front of the church.
Really?
Yeah. It's just been a lot that has gone on since our dad passed away. And it hasn't been easy. Like I said, it's been tough, but we're servants. Obviously, we're Christians. So we know that with God, there's nothing impossible, even though it is hard.
Oh, yeah. I could definitely see it'll be rough, but man, that's something to really applaud and look up to, man. Good for you guys. Like, that's my respect for you guys, man. It's not an easy task, man. We see our parents doing what they're doing and we're like, nah, not for me. Well, at least me.
Exactly.
But man, you guys grab the torch and keep going.
I said that my whole life. I was on your page of not for me, running from it. To this day, I don't want it, but you have to submit, you know?
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, I mean, I say no, but if it happens, I won't knock it.
You can always say no, but like when God has already predestined something from you, you literally cannot run from it. There's no way you can avoid it.
So how did that come about? Like, you guys were like, yo, we got to continue this, or?
Well, what had happened was, to make you understand, it's from October 2020. Our father, pastor of the church, he passes away for a good amount of months to the new year of 2021. My mother was in front of the church. Through her grieving process, it went from quick responses. She would grieve out of anger. She would grieve in that way. So the church made a decision with the deacon board to put an interim pastor, and that was Pastor Ellis Rivera. At the moment, we thank God for his life, and he was for 4 months. After the grieving process got better for my mother, now Pastor Gladys, she came back into effect. It was all good. Her grieving process went from anger to all is well to now in a state of complete depression. Her life partner's not here anymore. She can't now go kiss him goodnight. She can't now go on a date night. So it's complete depression. And throughout the day of my father's departure to heaven, I was always kind of her right-hand man at the church. So I'm a musician first. I'm a drummer. And then through the necessity of the church, having to learn piano. So I'm in the music department already. At the time of his departure to heaven, I was the president of the youth. So I was kind of already almost running all the bases to now in the moment of need to August 2021. Till this day, I've been maybe what you could say co-pastor, because she's in charge of the church, but I make the programs. I do the follow-up calls. I preach now every Sunday. I teach the youth class. I teach music. So to going from almost running all the bases when he was in life, the Pastor Pedro, to now basically literally running all the bases. So through the need and through the love that we have for souls and the members that we have there, you know, I made a decision to, I seen the need. I said, hey, mom, I feel like you need help. I'm not taking your spot. I don't want the spot. But we do have a responsibility as head of the church that those are souls for salvation. So through a deacon vote, we voted that I would be her helper. And to that day, I've been helping her as best of my knowledge. That's basically it in one bit, man.
I commend you for that. It's not an easy task for anybody to take over. How do you feel? Like, how do you feel that it's going? All in all, I mean, it's tough, but how do you feel that it's going?
So it's super tough. It's super tough because in our natural, in our flesh, me as a 23-year-old who, you know, had dreams of being an athlete, who could have accomplished that maybe, right? If this didn't happen. A 23-year-old, and at that time, 2020, I was 21. So as a 21-year-old, I didn't want to be a leader. I didn't want to be a pastor. I didn't like preaching. My Spanish is not at the level of this Latin community church, right? So I was fearful for the stutters. I was fearful for if I didn't speak the right way. Then at a 21-year-old, you're receiving all these prophecies, receiving all the members coming up saying you have a legacy to follow your father. I'm like, 21-year-old Jaden was like, yeah, not going to happen. Walk out right from the church. And then through prayer and through understanding the process of why God called my father so soon, and through seeing, again, like I said, the need for the souls of salvation and the members of the church, I had to do it. And it's interesting because through it all, that Pastor Ellis that I had before mentioned is someone I hold special in my heart, because he told me that the person who always says no or runs from a calling is the person who ends up in its totality. So to answer your question, sorry for taking so much time, is super tough. There's times where as a 23-year-old having to work 45 hours plus at my job, to then having to go teach drums to the kids at the church, teach Bible study to the newly coming teenagers at the church, then preach on a Sunday to people who have master's degrees in biblical theology, and having to literally now balance me, my Bible seminar, so that I can get my total understanding to maybe lead that church fully one day. It's very, at times can be overwhelming. At times can be where I can have a feeling of I could barely breathe at times. It's super tough, but definitely, like my sister said, at the end of the night, at the start of the day and throughout it, just running to Christ and having him help me understand that with him, nothing's impossible, because we serve a God of the impossible.
That's dope, man. Like, the Bible says it, man. God will honor your faithfulness, man. You know, like that, we're here for that. You know what I'm saying? Whether we're the pastor or not, we're here for that. And people need to understand that what you're saying that you were doing before your position now is basically just doing that without the quote unquote title. And that's how it usually happens, man. The servants become the leaders. You know what I mean? You know, how many times have you heard a good servant will be a good leader? And really, at the end of the day, everybody's here to serve. You know what I'm saying? And how about you, Nisha? What's your take on it?
It's very hard. And I, some days, struggle more than others. As I was saying, actually in church today, last week was actually a very hard week because, again, with my brother, we do like the following calls. We're always following up on people. And sometimes when you don't get the same response back, or you don't get like what you expect from what you give, like, it hurts a lot. But I've learned a lot from my dad. Like, I thank God so much for who my dad was here on earth, because he was like what the Bible says, like, if someone smacks you in the face, you give the other cheek. That was literally my dad on earth. And I always have to remember the Bible when it says that, and also how my dad would react to certain situations. So even though it's tough and I want to react how humanly I want to react, I always remember that. And I always end up falling back to how Jesus wants me to, how to live. I am 23. I am a mother of a 5-year-old. I also have a full-time job. I also work with the youth. I work with the women in the church. So same thing. Like, it's a lot to juggle. But like I said, there's nothing impossible for God. Last week, I had a really hard week. But in the midst of all of that, I was able to understand and sing to God. I don't know if you ever heard the song in Spanish, Dios siempre tiene el control, from Samuel Hernández.
Yeah.
In the midst of all of that, in the midst of all my tears, in the midst of what I was feeling, I was able to feel the peace of God and able to sing that song, which maybe for other people is like, how are you crying? How are you feeling all this? How are people doing this to you? And you want to react away, but you're able to sing that God has control of everything in your life. And that is my motto. God has everything under control. I live in peace. I sleep in peace because he has everything under control. And even though it's hard, and just like my brother, until this day, I still say I don't want it. I don't want it, even if they give it to me paid. If they pay me $10,000 a month, I still don't want it. And I probably shouldn't say that, to be honest. But that's an area where I'm still working with God. And God has worked a lot in me. A lot. Because to who I was before, I always say that God had to permit for my dad to leave this earth the moment that he did in order for, personally, me to open my eyes. Like, I have a personal testimony. I got pregnant at the age of 19 out of wedlock. And God forgave me. I was right for a little bit of time. I was able to get up again and do my things in God. But then I fell again in the same sin. And like I say, God knew that I was running away from his calling. And he had to permit something to happen to me a little bit deeper that was going to hit home a little bit harder, to actually, at the end of the day, just say, you know what? I bow down completely to your will, God, and there's no more running. And it is hard every day. And we're only 23 and 25. I just turned 25 yesterday. Like I said, like, this is not something that you expect us to be doing at our age. This is something, oh, this is for the old people. This is for the people that have been in church all their lives. Or like he said, that have knowledge of the Bible. Like, we were born and raised in church, and I always say I never knew God. I knew church. I knew what it was to go to church. I knew what it was to sing songs and coritos and all that. But I never knew who God was personally until now, that he has to permit these things in our lives. And I never knew the Bible. I would read it. All of these psalms and all of these scriptures that people say, but it wasn't until something happened in my life that I actually understood that. And now, with the responsibility that we have, we both are in seminar, so we are learning, and I'm very happy for that. Like, I'm proud of myself that I took that step, because I have a whole different understanding. And I love it, honestly. I would never picture myself saying this, even though with all the difficulties and how, like, what we go through as a PK and now as basically in front of the church, I can honestly say I love it.
It sounds like you have a good congregation. Did you ever get... My brother's a pastor.
Okay.
So he pastors people that my dad used to pastor. My dad, thank God, he hasn't passed away, but he's not pastoring that church anymore. He's here in Florida, pastoring another church. He's still a pastor. But my brother is pastoring people that my dad used to pastor. And sometimes, bueno, tu papá no lo hacía así. You know, do you guys get that? Sometimes, kind of.
I don't get that myself, because I believe through word to mouth, members say what my mother says, what my sister says. Apparently, I'm exactly like him. So I feel like I'm a little bit, you know, different, but apparently I'm exactly like him. So I get more of the side of, wow, you remind me of him. Wow, the way you worship is the way like him. Wow, the way you forgive is like him. The way you invite people is like him. So I'm more on the other side of that.
That sounds really cool, man. Like, how does that make you feel when somebody says, man, you're just like your dad?
It's definitely a word to describe it. It's bittersweet because I remind everyone of him so much that when those words do come to me, wow, you remind me of Pastor Pedro. Wow, you're just like Peter. It's bitter because I wish he was here. Like, I wish he's seen me taking this as serious as I am. He's only seen one of my preachings where I actually gave it, you know, a seriousness. And then the sweet part of it is, like, if I'm at least half of the man that my father was, then I won in life already. I believe that if I'm just a little like him, and those words are true that everyone comes up to me and say, I'm happy with life just because of that comparison.
We're gonna have to go to the next subject because you're gonna make me cry.
Yeah.
Hats off to you guys. My respect to what you guys are doing, and may God bless you and the church, and give you the strength that you need to continue, man. Like, good for you guys, bro. All right. What has been your favorite thing about being a pastor's kid?
That's hard because before I would say that. I really hated being a pastor's kid ever since we were born being pastor's kids. So ever since I can remember, I've never, ever liked being a pastor's kid. But now that I'm older, I'm more mature, I could see that. Because when you're a pastor's kid, all the eyes are on you. Everything you do, all the judgment, that goes straight to you. But I can say that right now that's my least and my most favorite thing, that all the eyes are on me. Because that made me who I am today. Like I said previously, I got pregnant at 19 years old out of wedlock. And everything that I went through, everything that the people said, just everything that I felt in that moment in my life made me who I am today. So all the eyes on me is a good thing and a bad thing. Because I'm a testimony, literally. Everything I do, other people are going to want to do. Everything I say, other people are going to want to say. Like how I portray myself, that's how people are going to want to portray themselves. So I think it's ironic, but that's what I hate the most and like the most, if that makes sense.
That makes total sense in a pastor's kid's world.
Yes, exactly.
How about you, Jaden?
My favorite thing about being a pastor's kid from the moment I was walking to now is just the coolness of it. Because there was a coolness at a time of being a pastor's kid. Besides being in like the serious deacon board meetings, I had access to the kitchens of the church. I had access to the band of the church. I had access to every part of the church. So I feel like as a kid, that was my favorite thing. And I feel like that's what made me the musician I am today. My love for music, obviously, but having access to walking into a practice that was only for the band of the church, having permission to sit next to the drummer while in a service, a live service. So I just liked the access. It was pretty fun for sure.
Yeah, that's you getting in front of the line a couple of times when people are getting some food.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I don't like that though. Like, I don't pull that card.
Well, when I was younger, when I was really young, I say from 14 and younger, I was my favorite card to pull. I pulled it every service. But now, even, you know, a couple years before my dad died, at an older age, you get to realize, like, you know what? Everyone else first, and I'll take that last piece. And if there's no piece available, it's also fine with me. But definitely at the end of that, also having a voice, you know? We're having that access. Oh no, Jaden, you come first. Oh, not a problem. Let's have the visitor come first. Let's have the young ladies come first. Let's have the kids come first.
Did you guys get any comments like, he's doing that or she's doing that because they're the pastor's kid?
Never to our ears, but I'm pretty sure that did happen a lot of times. It never got to my ears, but
I never had that either.
No. Yeah.
Well, I mean, good.
Pastor's kids all of our lives. So I'm pretty sure that did happen at once. Or, you know, people are always murmurando, you know, on the low and saying things that they shouldn't be saying instead of praying for us. I never got that they're doing that because they're the pastor's kid, but I did get a lot of comments as to because she's the pastor's kid, she shouldn't do this. Or because she's the pastor's kid. Like, for example, when I got pregnant, I got pregnant at 19 years old. I wasn't married. I had to sit down for a whole year, and I did sit down, ate all those consequences. And then when I went to rise up again, you know, this always happens, whether you're a pastor's kid or not a pastor's kid. When you're lifting yourself up in God again, the enemy's always going to send people to, like, try to, like, bring you down again. After I had a child, like, every relationship or every friend I had was bad, or I couldn't have them, or I had to hurry up and get married because the same thing was going to happen again. And, like, I thank God that my dad always took my back on that, because there's a lot of PKs that their parents don't take their back on that, and they're not here today.
Mm-hmm.
They're not serving God. They decided that out there, they have more love than they had inside here being a PK. And that's hard. But I thank God so much that my parents were different. And maybe they did get those comments and we didn't, but they kept it to themselves so that it wouldn't affect us.
I like that, man. Did you guys grow up in a small church, or was a pretty big church?
Our whole life, maybe until very, very recently, we were one of the major churches in New Britain, Connecticut. You couldn't come to New Britain from 2000 to 2015 and not go to Ebenezer. It was sort of an attraction to say. And, you know, after 2015, some things rose up in the church, you know, members against members and whatever happens, you know, that we leave that in God's hands. But for sure, from 1999 to maybe 2015, 2014, not to toot our own horn, but Ebenezer was really one of the major churches in New Britain, Connecticut, where we had members of up to, at times, 300 to now, at the lowest, maybe now 40. So we've definitely experienced every stage of the church life, where it was, we had to bring more seats because we didn't fit, to now everyone come sit closer because you're all in the back and it's looking empty, you know?
Jaden, you mentioned that you're a musician. How about Nasha, do you play something? Do you sing?
I don't, unfortunately. I do sing. I sing. So as of now, I sing every Sunday just to help out. Since he said the group has gotten a little bit smaller, I do when I feel on behalf of God, like either I'm tired physically or like I know that I've been doing it a lot. I like to give, just like my brother, I love to give opportunities to everybody. Like, the light is not always shining on me. I'm not the best singer. Like he said, there's much better people out there than that do what we do. So I love giving opportunities to people. But yeah, I do sing every Sunday and I love it. That is something that I love. I will sing. If you see me in my house, I'm singing all the day, all day, 24/7.
I don't sing. I play trombone. Well, I got to cut that. I used to play trombone. I haven't played trombone in like 2 years. And then
back to it.
Yeah.
Awesome. I see some congas behind you.
Oh yeah, man. Cause those are my buddies.
Okay.
Those are my buddies. Every now and again, he'll swing by. I love salsa.
Oh yeah.
So we'll have a little jam session here or something to that effect. I used to have a salsa band a few years back, and we were here then pretty often. It was bonkers in here, cause I would have horns in here sometimes, and then I'll have the percussion in here sometimes. So my wife got used to a lot of noise.
Okay.
Well, it wasn't noise. I would have to say it was music. So.
Yeah.
I've had in this room. I had a drum set in here. So I had the drum set. I had the drummer. I was sitting here. I had the bass player over here. I had two singers sitting over here, and then the kid playing piano, I think he was over here. I got them together to do like kind of like a reggae type thing. And that was kind of fun. This little tiny room. Well, I mean, it's a blessing because, yep. You know, it's a space. So the space has been used I mean, this house is a blessing to us.
Amen.
So we cherish the blessing. So enough about me talking about music. You guys, are you both part of PK Edition?
Yes.
So could you give me a little something about the PK Edition for the listeners, please?
PK Edition is a band of majority pastors' kids, with the exception of three. Our bass player Manny, he's a blessing. He's one of the voices of not voices singers, but one of the voices that we listen to, you know, look up to as a leader in our group. And then we have our drummer Johnny, who was married into the pastoral family, and he's also a pivotal part of our group. He's a backbone of our group. He's the jokester of our group as well. And then Leandra, who many would say is in the process of marrying into the pastoral family also. But with the exception of those three, and they, their entire life, have been best friends with pastors' kids. But with the exception of those three, we're a group of entirely pastors' kids, from the musicians to the voices. I am a member. I started as the title of the preacher of the group, and now I am the piano player of the group as well, with the help of my brother in the group, William. He taught me, he's teaching me, and he is continually in my ear giving me advice and helping me out on that. And I wouldn't be the piano player I am today without him. So all props to my brother William from PK whenever he hears this. And then Naisha is a singer in the PK worship group, PK Edition. And we got in because of, at the time of our father's departure to heaven, we were broken. We were broken down. We were alone. We were heartbroken. We were just distraught. And I give thanks. I give thanks for Pastor Magda Lopez and Willie Cordero, who are the pastors of the PKs that are in the group. And I give thanks especially to my brother Alfredo. I'm sure you've spoken to him on the phone. Alfredo Rios, AJ, who I don't call AJ, I call mi líder. AJ holds such a special place in my heart, because at the moment of devastation of losing our father, AJ is the young man who came to our church and just hugged me. Never said a word to him in my life. He hugged me. He said, "I'm here for you." He said, "Visit me." He said, "If you don't want to visit me, I'll visit you." He got my number. And AJ, from that day on, from never speaking to him in my entire life, from having one little hug that he gave me, has now turned into one of my closest friends. He's a brother. He calls me every night to check on me. And AJ's such a pivotal part in me giving into that calling. AJ is the leader of the group. And in that time of devastation, they invited us in, invited us to their homes, invited us to their church, put the instruments in my hand when I didn't want to, corrected me when I did something wrong, and also celebrated me when I did something good. And it's a great friendship, and it's a great, he's a great leader, and he's even a better friend. So PK Edition, it wouldn't be anything without each and every one of those members. And they're all important to the group. They're all important to me in my life outside of the group.
He seems very quiet.
Yeah, he's super quiet. AJ is maybe the quietest leader I've ever met in my life, because he holds all the ideas in his head, and he knows how to lead. He knows how to get the ball rolling. But he's just such a sweetheart. He's such a kind, genuine soul. And I feel like to not hurt anyone, he holds stuff in, but it's stuff that wouldn't even hurt you. He's just a sweetheart. He's an amazing guy.
Yeah, I'm excited to speak to him in the future. How about you, Naisha? How you feel about the band?
I love PK. Like my brother said, they reached out to us when my father passed away. And it all started literally, well, our first time meeting all of them was in Magdali and Jonathan's house. They invited all of the PKs. I didn't know none of them at all. And we literally just sat down and we had a taco table. They just opened the table. We had tacos. We had chips. We ate. We laughed. we got to meet each other. And then ever since then, they've been a great, great part of our lives. And we just had our first event ever in October. Yes.
22nd.
October 22nd of this year. And it was amazing. Like, I'm so happy to be part of them. We don't talk every day because everyone has their own things to do in life. They're also parents. Everyone has things to do. But when we get together, it's like nothing. We can always laugh. We can always joke around, and it's always a good time. And I'm happy to have them a part of my life and to be a part of PK Edition.
We also had our second outing last night.
Yes.
Last night was our second outing for the PKs.
Was it Christmas?
Yeah.
Yes.
We were ministering in New Britain, Connecticut at El Shaddai.
That's dope, man. I'm jealous. I was talking to AJ. I talked to AJ. He gave me a call. I talked to him and Leandra.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I was telling him, man, like, somebody, I don't know if my boy knows someone that knows you guys, because he knows some people in Connecticut. The dude was like, check these kids out. I went to your page, and of course, like, a band full of PKs. What?
It's something that you never see.
I told him, when I was young, coming up, there was so much talk about a pastor's kid's band, but it never happened. And I'm like, man, I'm so jealous. I mean, it's a good jealousy. It's a good jealous. Yeah. But yeah, man, because we did know, I mean, almost all the pastor's kids that I know are musicians and or sing or very involved in what's going on. And that, I mean, we've played with other pastor's kids and you know how it is, man, conventions and youth things and all of this stuff. So there was a good number of kids that were really good. Like, I put myself in the bottom, the bottom half. Like, of course, nobody played horns back in the day. Not very many. Not over here, at least. But yeah, man, I'm so glad that you guys are doing what you're doing, because not only is it important to pastor's kids, or it's going to be, or will be, or has been important to pastor's kids, but it's important to a bunch of other youth that are looking at you guys, just like how you said. Like, people are looking at you, and even more if you're on stage. And I love that. That's what I love about being a pastor's kid. I met so many people and so many musicians. But long after, I hear about PK Edition, and I'm like, man, that is super cool. I got to talk to these people. So I'm so glad that you guys have taken your time. I'm so glad that AJ reached out. I'm so glad that, I mean, you can be talking to whoever you want to be talking to, but you've taken your time to have a chat right now, and I really appreciate that. And I know that whoever is listening is going to benefit. Is going to benefit from both of your stories. With that being said, man, do they call you Pastor Jaden?
No, I forbid it. There's one guy in the church. He's a knucklehead. You know, we love him to death. There's one of our members, Gio, where he'll call me that no matter what I tell him not to call me. But no, you know, I'm not fully there yet. I don't want that title, man. Nah, they haven't called me that yet. I make it clear that I'm, you know, helping my mother.
Yeah, that's cool, man. For those pastor's kids that are listening right now, what words of advice do you have?
I would say to never believe what people say you are, but who God says you are. You're looking at a kid that got kicked out of high school. You're looking at a kid that their counselor, my counselor of my high school, told me that I was a cancer to the high school. You're looking at a kid that his counselor said that I would be in a cemetery or in jail. You're looking at a kid that, you know, I may burst someone's ears saying this. You're looking at a kid that took all his baptism classes, and just because I have a couple of hairs on my chin, they weren't going to baptize me. You're looking at a kid that every single person said wasn't enough. You who hear this podcast, you're listening to a normal guy that everyone said nothing but negative things about. But now I have the honor to minister to any age, to any person. I have the honor to preach on a pulpit because of God's grace. Not because of what anyone said or declared upon my life, but because of what he said. An hour ago, I just preached about serving a God of the impossible. We serve a God of the impossible, where what society says won't correlate, where society says he won't fit in, where society says he's not enough. God says, with that great mess, I can make greatness. Where God can take you out of a situation where people say he's not enough and make that person who supposedly to society is not enough, now someone so valuable to the kingdom of God. Pastor's kid that hear me, I just need you to understand the value that you have in the kingdom of God. That even with you just showing up to your local church, that is such a victory. Pastor's kid that hears me, I just want to tell you, don't give up. Don't give up. You're hearing at a kid again who society wrote off as nothing. You're looking at a kid who didn't believe in himself. And now I'm doing all these things because, again, God's grace. We serve a God who is so filled of, literally, the Bible says he's filled of grace and truth. So his grace will get you through the things that you failed him with. Because we're not perfect. We fail him every day. As pastor's kids, yes, you who hear this podcast, we fail him every day. And that's when his grace comes in. And then once we conquer that failure because of only his grace, he now smacks you with the truth and says, no, you aren't what people say you are. You're what I say you are. So pastor's kid who hears me, never give up. Never listen to those negative comments and just give your all to Christ. It is super important to just give your all to Christ and surrender all. As a pastor's kid, there's going to be relationships. There's going to be, like I said, I was aspiring to be an athlete, and I had to leave all those things because of the calling over my life. And I tell you, it is worth it. It is worth it. I would do anything I can to be on a baseball field right now. But the joy that the Lord gives me and how he filled the void in my heart that nothing else could have done. There's no better satisfaction than just showing up at his house and just worshiping him freely.
That's powerful, man. Nasha, hit me.
I was literally going to say that. It's worth it. It literally is worth it. Whether you are going through whatever you're going through, whatever you're feeling, even though if people are talking about you, even though you really want to give up and you think that, what am I going to get out of being a pastor's kid and everybody talking about me? What am I going to get out of being a pastor's kid and everybody pointing their fingers at me? But like he said, it's not what they say. It's what God says you are. And it's not even what you think you are or what you believe that you are or you put yourself to think. It's what God says you are. Because I would have never in a million years imagined that I would be in front of a church with my brother, ministering to youth, ministering to women. That is not what I want. I want to be just sitting down in a chair and myself being ministered to. Myself being talked to. That everything I say, someone says it to me. But it's so worth it. If you're still in church serving as a pastor's kid, do not leave God. Because God is going to help you. And if you're listening to me and you have left church and you're not serving him and it's been years or you just decided to do that the other day, please come back. Come back to the arms of the all heavenly Father, because he wants to help you and he is there to help you, but he can't unless we let him. So it is definitely worth it.
Thank you for those words, both of you. And thank you for your time. Again, man, I'm going to say thank you like a trillion times. I'm going to text you thank you over and over again.
Thank you for thinking about us to do this podcast. Because just as you never seen a pastor's kid band, we've never seen anyone that wants to talk to a pastor's kid. We've never seen anyone who's interested in why do you like being a pastor's kid, or why do you hate being a pastor's kid? Or even in our testimony and of how it is being a pastor's kid, how it is living in a pastor's house, no one's ever intrigued about that. No one ever thinks about that. They just think about the bad things that pastor's kids do and when they fail. Unfortunately, that's the world we live in. But like the same way you were mind blown when you saw our page on Facebook is the same way. Like, I was like, I really have to do that podcast. And we were supposed to do it Thursday, right? And for situations or whatever, I'm like, I was really looking forward to it. And I'm so happy that we were able to be in contact with each other and do this. Because there's pastor's kids that are even drug addicts, that they're outside in the world. Like, most of the time, if you go to a drug addict or someone that's asking for money in the streets, they're a pastor, they're a pastor's kid, they're a musician. Like, most of the time, those are people that served God and that were very important people. But because of things in life that happen, because they were hurt inside the church, not outside the church, because these are things that nobody talks about, they're out there. Just for our story, our testimony getting out there, we can change a lot of people's lives. Not only PKs, which is, I know that's our main focus because we're PKs and we're talking to PKs, but everybody's lives. Because nobody knows what we go through. Nobody knows what happens inside closed doors. But I thank you a lot for thinking about us.
Thank you.